Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Pasha. My name is Godfred Boafo.
And I'm Candace Bailey. Thank you for joining us.
The Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is extremely difficult to contain, and there are a number of complex issues facing people trying to manage it. But there is an aspect of outbreaks, like the Ebola one, that's often overlooked, like how gender inequalities fuel and exacerbate outbreaks. Here to tell us more is Julia Smith, a research associate at Simon Fraser University in Canada.
So the gender dimensions of outbreaks are both physically and socially constructed. Physically, there are some diseases that are just going to affect certain genders differently. So for example, the Zika outbreak in South America primarily has negative impacts for women because it affects unborn fetuses during pregnancy. However, there also are social elements that might make men or women or different genders more vulnerable. So for example, in most contexts, women are responsible for caring for the ill, and this will expose them more to infections from outbreaks and also put a greater burden on them during an outbreak. I would add that it's important to know that today we're speaking about gender, but there are many other factors that might affect how a person or community is affected by an outbreak. For example, people of marginalized ethnicities or sexualities may not have access to safe healthcare, or they might be denied services. People of different incomes might not be able to afford treatment or protective gear. So in addition to gender, it's important to recognize that there are many intersectional factors that structure health inequities.
Julia went on to say that in her research, global health policies don't recognize issues related to women. There was a clear absence of gender analysis. When gender is mentioned, it focuses on maternal and child health. While this is important, it needs to be recognized that discussing gender for outbreaks is crucial.
In your research, you found that ignoring gender in such crises can exacerbate the suffering of women and girls. How does this happen?
So the majority of care during an outbreak, the actual care of the ill, is done in people's homes, and most often it is done by women and girls. And this is especially true in contexts where there are weak health systems, where there's not enough doctors and nurses. So, for example, the epicenter of the West African outbreak was Kailahun, and in Sierra Leone. And I used to work and live in Kailahun, and when I was there, there was only two doctors for 500,000 people. So there was a real, even with the external forces or the external organizations coming in, there's a real lack of enough support for people who are ill. And so the majority of healthcare happens in the home by women. And these women truly lack supports and supplies.
People living in rural areas don't have access to basic needs like soap and gloves, and these are simple things that help prevent people from getting Ebola. Research from Liberia also showed that women are still dealing with the trauma of treating people with Ebola, and their mental health was affected. Women were also neglected from general health needs. This is because during an outbreak, most resources are directed to the response itself. In other Western African countries affected by the outbreak, maternal health and pediatric clinics were closed. Maternal mortality increased significantly.
So what needs to be done to deal with the problem?
Decision makers at all levels need to include women and girls, our marginalized groups, in their planning. They need to go to the grassroots and hear people's experiences directly from them. Lots of my analysis of this issue is based on the fact that I've lived and worked in some of the affected areas. And so even before the outbreak got out of control, I could see these things happening because I've been there and I've seen the reality people live in. And I really think that policymakers and people who are making decisions about resources and how responses are going to be carried out need to go to these places, or they need to bring people from those places to their boardrooms, to their meetings, and hear their lived experiences.
It's important to have people advocating for gender-based responses, or it won't be a priority. This needs to happen in institutions like the WHO. When the military is involved, they need to be trained on sensitivity and dealing with gender issues. The assumption that women have to deal with the responsibility of care during an outbreak needs to change, and this must come from leadership positions.
Are there any examples where gender is effectively being considered in dealing with outbreaks?
So during the West African Ebola outbreak in Sierra Leone, there's an organization called the SEND Foundation, which really put women at the center of the local response. It invited women leaders to speak about how to prevent infection on its radio show. So it's brought women from the community to share information and strategies with other women, and had an opportunity for people in the community to call in with their questions. It facilitated community watch committees to improve surveillance, and these included women leaders as well as religious leaders, which really gave the committee a lot of power and influence.
Since then, more women have been appointed into leadership positions. This sparked a response which helped ease the burden that women experienced. They also worked with the military to help women. These types of responses are needed and need to involve women working and living in these communities.
Far too often, we see women excluded or ignored when it comes to crises like Ebola. It's time for that to change. Thanks for tuning into this episode produced by Ozair Patel. From me, Godfred Boafo.
And from me, Candace. Bye for now.